So you were indicated that maybe you had mentioned something about Srila Prabhupada. We can't really do much, can't really consider oneself a member of ISKCON if we don't mention something about Srila Prabhupada. If we don't have anything to mention, really, except for something about Srila Prabhupada, because everything we're doing, and everything, well, not to say everything we're doing, we may be doing something which we shouldn't be doing, but everything in relationship with Krishna consciousness is certainly by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. If the water is from the bottle or it's from the cap?
It's from the bottle.
And baby water in the bottle. Drunkards and babies drink from bottles. Mm-hmm. Yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us whatever we may think. We really have very little, nothing really speaking of any value. That song we sing, Guru Kripa. The Guru, what's that song there? Guru Dev, Kripa Bindu Dia. That your mercy is all that I am made of. We have this notion of mercy. And his mercy is really all that we're made of. We don't have anything virtue of any value. But by the mercy of those pure devotees who come into this world and share that, distribute that mercy within the lifetime into this world. It's up to us whether we take it or not. It was right here in Malaysia, not Singapore, however. As you all know, Singapore was a very special place. The only place in the world that Prabhupada went, anyway, where they outright refused to allow him to enter into Singapore. And nowhere else in the world. He went to Russia. Of course, he didn't go to many countries, in one sense. There was no other country. Kenya, they refused him once, but that was just one occasion. I think that's lack of visa or something. But in general, Prabhupada went everywhere, and he never stopped. Only here in Singapore. He's had a very special task here in Singapore. Although Prabhupada was unable to enter himself into the country at that time, nonetheless, the devotees of here have done, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, they're doing their best. Even to this day, the country is not so open as most in the Western world, at least, whatever you call it. But the devotees are doing their best to try to spread Prabhupada's mission here in Singapore. There's so much to be done. But thank you for that. But when Srila Prabhupada was in Malaysia, he gave that example there. In 1971, in May, when Prabhupada came through, and most of you have probably got that book, Prabhupada in Malaysia. Is that right? You have it here? You have it? Everyone has it? Who has the book? Hands up who has that book, Prabhupada in Malaysia. Hardly anybody. Jeez, you're living here and you don't have the book. It also includes Singapore, by the way, because the devotees were in Singapore for some time. I should have brought. I didn't realize that everybody in this club. And the silly thing is, they're giving them away. And half the devotees in the country don't even have them. And they're just trying to give them away in Kuala Lumpur. And you should order a couple of hundred copies. Very cheap. You can buy it for $1 each. I don't have a copy with me now. And they gave 100 away yesterday in Scudo. Just, I don't know what the psychology is, but it's just in all over the world, no one's got it. There's no effort at this here. Just give it away. I'd try to get hold of it and read about Prabhupada when he was in this part of the world. It was only 5 or 6 days in Malaysia. And whilst he was there in Kuala Lumpur and he was talking to Johnson London, the Indian minister, famous minister amongst the Indian people in Malaysia at the time, and he wasn't talking to him actually, talking to his wife, because somebody was away at that moment, and he asked his wife if she would please help us to establish a temple in Malaysia, and his wife said, "Yes, Swamiji, by your mercy. By your mercy it will be possible." And Prabhupada again repeated the request, and she said, she again said, "Swamiji, yes, by your mercy." And Prabhupada said, "No, there's not like that." He said, "I'm giving you my mercy. It is up to you to take it. I'm giving you it now. This is my mercy. I'm offering you this chance to render this service. This is my mercy." And she was saying, "Yes, by your mercy," as if some magical thing would go on beyond. But it's a very simple thing. The mercy of the spiritual master is he gives us a chance to engage in service according to our capacity. That's his mercy. It's not some kind of magic thing that comes out of the cloud. It's very simple. In fact, when Prabhupada said it's like this, he said, "You're drowning in a well. You're drowning in a well, and it's stuck in the well, and you're crying out for help. So someone comes along, and they hear your cry, and they throw a rope down, a long rope. Here, take the rope. We'll pull you out. Just take the rope." And the person in the well says, no, help me to hold on to the rope." The Prabhupada said, "It's that you have to do. The pure devotees give the rope, unlimited ropes. It is up to us whether we want to take them or not. We can't say, oh, let's see, what is Krishna's mercy? Krishna's mercy is already there. Whether we take it or not, that's our part." And so, that's, you know, and maybe a little bit of experience in exactly how to take it, but in principle, we have to take that rope. That's what Prabhupada has given. I can look at the back, and over here there are some books in the shelves there. I'm sure you've all read all of them. Right? Well, 10 times over, right? Have you got the dust thread so we can dust them off? Once a year we dust them off. Some of them, of course, we're busy people. Working people in Singapore means work. Living in Singapore means work, work, and more work. Right? Work and work and work. Is that right? For most people. Mostly it means work. Don't get so much time, but whatever time one has, try to take advantage of it. Have you broken another cup? Let's see the other. Advantage of whatever time we have to read Prabhupada's books. That's his mercy also. Giving us all these books, wonderful books, and a mission, a movement. Without association of devotees, we really cannot expect to progress in spiritual life. And Prabhupada's mercy also has given us this opportunity to associate. You know, there are many sanghams of devotees, no doubt. But we want that sangham where Prabhupada is in the center. The Prabhupada in the center. This is what will keep us a little more focused without being fanatical. But keeping Prabhupada in the center means, you know, applying his will in our lives. What would he want of us? How we can live our lives for his pleasure. So today, this morning, I'll read from the other day in Malaysia. Some of you have seen it already or heard it before. But some of you may have been with us in Port Dickson about, I suppose, 4 years ago. 3 or 4 years ago. Some of you may have been there. We did go through this somewhat there. I don't know to what degree. They were hustling hustling us from the back constantly to finish quickly, so we didn't really do it all. And some of you may be in Vrindavan when we also made this presentation, or in Mayapur or somewhere like that. I haven't done it, I think, in 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. Kartik in Vrindavan was the last time we did this. It's a multi... Well, I hesitate to say because I know that it is something. One, in theory at least, is a multimedia dramatic presentation on Srila Prabhupada's life and mood and mission, which we haven't done, as I say, and we can't do today because we don't have it in its fullness. We would need a projector and a screen and all kinds of modern things like that. Which we don't have. And of course we don't have actors. This drama has about 25 players. And the first time we put this on about Prabhupada was in Mayapur, it was in 2004, and it was only a little period of 2 years, we did it maybe 5 or 6 times. But it was in the Mayapur Festival in March 2004, Prabhupada's 108th anniversary, and it was just a very spontaneous affair, really. It was really spontaneous. We had 5 days, four to five days notice to do a drama about Prabhupada in the Pandal in Mayapur. And nothing had been written, nothing had been thought even, not to speak of rehearsed or prepared. So somehow or another, in this case we will say by Prabhupada's mercy, it came together. And so many wonderful devotees took part. We had in that presentation that we had Nishinananda with us. You know Nishinananda, I think, quite well from the States. He was there, the strong TV man, ITV Nishinananda. He's expert with filming and all that sort of thing. And he was there, and he very happily took part in the drama as well as providing some of the technical stuff. I had another devotee, a very close friend of mine, who's a professional video man, who was actually there to do all the technical videoing in the DVC meeting, so he also helped us out too, in many ways. And Dravida, very Dravida, you know Dravida also, from San Diego. He's a very famous editor of the DVT and poet, and an amazing devotee. He can't stop talking about Krishna. He's got a real problem. He can't stop talking about Krishna. I don't know if he'll ever be cured of that problem. He had to speak about Krishna. So he was there too, in our drama, in various forms. We had Sabhag Swami. You know Sabhag Swami? He was here 2 days ago. Who's he staying with? Maybe? Who is he staying? Where did he stay? Venu Madhavas. Mr. Sabhag Swami was here. He's in Bali now. He left on Friday to Bali. So he was here, and he was in the drama. And we had our local, you know, we call Malaysia Maharaj. You know Malaysia Maharaj? You know very well, though. Okay. First, everybody knows our Malaysia Maharaj? Well, now he's Chennai Maharaj. He's no longer Is in Chennai now. Hard to see him. But he's holding us back here again to Mandana Maharaj. He was in the drama. It's probably the only drama he's ever acted in. He's taken part in it 3 times, actually, at least 3 times. He likes to. And you know what part he played? Which part did he play? We may have seen it, and we did it in Fort Dixon, but we may have been in it the last night, late night one night. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He looks remarkably like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, you see it from some angles. He looks so much like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's almost unreal. It's amazing. So he would take part. We had Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, and we had a few Prabhupada disciples who were actually there in some of the scenes with Prabhupada back in 1972 and things like that. And you all know that. I mean, when we had a musical group from New Zealand, and my devotee friends from New Zealand were there to do the musical backup. And then we had Chandrasekhar, you know Chandrasekhar Acharya? He's an actor, Bhakti Chuu Maharaj Society. He's one of the main actors in those videos of Bhakti Chuu Maharaj. What's it called? Abhacharan, is it actually? And Ekalavya, the trumpet man, you know, the trumpeter, Ekalavya. Sankirtan Das, you know Sankirtan Das? He must know your god, but no, he's not. He woke up now, but he preached in Taiwan and China for a long time. So many talented devotees came forward just like that. And with no rehearsal, literally speaking, no rehearsal, just briefed everyone what it was all about. They had no time, and off they went, and they did a stunning job of, as I say, making everyone feel very close to Srila Prabhupada and committed to his mission more. It was a very wonderful experience. So I don't have a clock or a watch or anything like that. There's always one on the wall there, actually. Fine. So I don't know where we'll start here. Let's just warm up a little bit. Can we... I'll try to turn this on. If I didn't bring my plugs, I hope it will last. I hope it will connect to all of this here. Om Ajana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudev Namaha Shri Chaitanya Namo Vishnam Tapisham Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Katamayam Jagati Svapatam Sikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padatam Shri Guru Narishmasa Shri Rupam Tajatam Sahagana Madanatam Nitham Nitham Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvirtam Parijana Saritam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hare Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Saha Kanta Namostute Sasa Kanchana Dorangi Sahaje Vrindavaneshwari Shri Sahanu Sute Devi Anamami Hare Priye Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Vasudevi Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now you have to bear with me here, I don't quite know what's happened, but something just disappeared off of the computer. and it's the very thing we're looking for. I don't understand much about computers, but it's quite dramatic, quite amazing actually how it disappeared like that. I don't know why. Let's see if we can find it.
There it is.
I don't know how it got there. Strange, computers, they have a mind of their own sometimes, you know. Like your mind, sometimes when you want to find something, you can't find it. There's something else is there which we wish wasn't there. Another nonsense thing. So hopefully it's there. Let's have a look and see. That was a miracle that we found it. So as I say, we're just warm up here a little bit. But is this going to work? The sound system is on. Is it going to work? It works. Not bad. We don't have the screen to show the slides and everything, pictures and drop up. It's a beautiful bhajan. I don't know if you've heard that one particular bhajan or song before. A rental crew from London. A very old tape. It's back in the 70s. It's a nice tape of singing Srila Prabhupada's address to Srila Prabhupada, his glories, and so on. Then we can just give a quick introduction. Dravida Prabhu came on the stage. With a wonderful presentation. Again, this is accompanied by slides, but we don't have the slides today. We have the slides, but we don't have the thing. I'll just read the poem. Srila Prabhupada Kripashtakam, it's called. This is his offering to Srila Prabhupada in 1997 on Prabhupada's appearance day. Trapped within samsara's all-devouring blazing fire, we had no hope of rescue till your guru's strong desire inspired and empowered you to boldly cross the sea and teach the truths of bhakti so some souls would be set free. O Prabhupada, you can repeat if you want the last line. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. Patient you taught us how to chant the holy name, and how to dance, and how to sing, and what was life's true aim. And thus you gave us Lord Chaitanya's teachings unalloyed, and saved us from the all-devouring Mayavadi void. O Prabhupada, Your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. When Krishna Bhakti spread, and you had centers here and there, you introduced the worship of the deities so fair. And soon throughout the world, their lordships smiled upon your crew and nourished strong devotion to themselves and unto you. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now. Unto your soothing lotus feet I bow. Very good. Prasadam was your special weapon. No one could resist. Once the Sunday feast had started, no one could desist. Halava, sweet rice, crisp pakoras, sabjis, puris, rice. With these and other crafts you did our tongues and hearts entice. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. The books you showered down upon the masses and on us taught scripture's sacred essence, bhakti, pure and nectarous. And while you wrote, you relished Shri Shri Radha Krishna's name, and form and pastimes, qualities and everlasting fame. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. For managing your ISKCON with the whole world as your stage, meeting, preaching, traveling like a man of half your age, you serve their lordship Shri Shri Radha Krishna in your heart, arranging for their pastimes in Vrindavan's secret pact. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. The Guru is as good as God, you said, and some were shocked. But you had simply quoted scripture, and you did not concoct. And sure enough, for those who worship you as they would God, the path of bhakti opens wide, and joyfully is trod. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. If you bestow your mercy, then Krishna gives his too. But if your mercy is lacking, then there's nothing we can do. So every day we should reflect upon your life sublime, and vow to serve you always with our body, words, and mind. O Prabhupada, your mercy is my only treasure now, and to your soothing lotus feet. I pray that my small hymn, though lacking literary worth, presented here in Singapore. Something wrong here. It wasn't for that. It was first in Mayapur, then we changed it to Broshan here and there. Presented here in Singapore, the most sinful place on earth. I don't think it is. I don't think it competes with some places you might think like that. I don't think it does. And certainly, but it is here. This house is the most sacred place on earth. But in general, Singapore is not considered the most sacred place on earth. Vrindavan, Braj, Mayapur. Presented here in Braj, the most sacred place on earth, may find some favor both with you and with your devotees who hover around your lovely lotus feet like maddened bees. O Prabhupada, I pray that you bestow your mercy now and to your soothing lotus feet I bow. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedante Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Ashtacharya Shatarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaurava Karuna
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Mukham Kuru Jiva Charam, Sangam Hande Jethi, Vrithita Tamaham Bande, Shri Guru Ndi Nathari.
But this is done in, as a drama, so we're not going to do it as a drama today. I just go through this subject matter. At the advent of Kali Yuga, Narada Muni, in great anxiety, he traveled the universe to find a solution for the suffering of his forthcoming age of Kali Yuga. We don't realize we're in it, and you get used to anything. Prabhupada writes that even in hell, Maya's potency is such that one of her potencies is she covers the living entity to forget and to identify with the situation, relatively speaking, which one's in, as being all in all and normal. The Prabhupada says even in hell, Maya covers the living entity in such a way that the living entity thinks this is not so bad. After all, the boiling pot of tea which I'm in is not as hot as the one the guy next door to me. Mine's better than mine. I have a better pot of boiling tea than they do, or whatever people think. But somehow or another, the ability to tolerate it and to you get used to anything, more or less, and of course there are degrees, but in general one gets used to a situation that's pretty much normal. Depending on the karma, generally speaking. So we're not aware, really, of the... We're born in it, and sometimes we think it's jolly nice situation, and it's Kali Yuga, so much nice sense for that, and so on. But it's an age of suffering, very much suffering, compared to others. We don't have that. Maya covers it over. We wouldn't be able to bear it, otherwise it would be unbearable. If we could just imagine and remembering what we did to cause us to be in this situation compared with previous situations, it would be unbearable. We wouldn't be able to tolerate it. Just like when we do something wrong, even in this lifetime, it haunts us sometimes for so long. God, why did I do that? You know, and many of us have experienced that. We say we've lost a dear and near member of our family or something due to something which we did. Not that we did it purposely, but, you know, maybe we went somewhere we thought what should we do or not, and we did, and we had an accident or something. These things happen. It's like there's a tsunami we've seen in Samoa. There's one lady, she had four babies in her arm, and, you know, some another, I guess she thought there was nothing to worry about. They all got swept away, and then she didn't move. She didn't take heed of the notice. Lost all of her kids, you know. And now she'd be haunted all of her, practically all her life, like that. They're sick of us. Oh, why did I do that? Why? It goes on and on. So Maya covers this to a certain extent, otherwise it would be unbearable. So, but actually it's a suffering age. But now the Muni, he was in great lamentation, but with no one, wherever he went, he saw no one was interested in the real, in this age, he just showed Ashikamana, Kali Kamashanashram, in this age, the real business is to chant the names of Krishna. This is a medicine to cure us in this age, but nowhere could he see anyone was interested. So eventually he went to Dwarka. At that time Krishna was on the planet in Dwarka, and he requested the Lord, and the Lord very assured him, don't worry, I will soon appear to rectify the situation, and you, Narada, should spread this message that I will be appearing in this age of Kali, and I will rectify the situation, don't worry. Go and tell everybody, tell all the devas, go everywhere, tell them all, don't worry, I'll be coming soon, in order to counteract the ill effects of this age of Kali. And he travelled all over, he even went to Vaikuntha, and eventually he went to Goloka Vrindavan, and there he saw, very his internal associate of the Lord, he had the opportunity of the darshan of Radha and Krishna, then, even more so, he had the darshan of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Lord Gauranga is not a, you can say, a, many message is not an occasional incarnation, it's eternal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga Mahaprabhu is eternal. And he has his eternal pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan. So sometimes they manifest in the universe, but not very often, any more than Krishna's. So he got the darshan of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was married when he was in ecstasy. He screamed in ecstasy. He couldn't believe this form of Gauranga, the most beautiful golden form. And then Narada Muni, the Lord knew what his mission, what is his desire. And he was saying, this is the form that Lord Krishna Dwarka had assured him that he would appear in this age of Kali to rectify the miserable condition of this age. So then the Lord spoke to him and said, I will destroy the sinful activities of the age of Kali with the powerful chopper of Nama Sankirtan. This is like a power which will cut the knot of bondage in this age. You're the Nijasana, you're the Kamadantam, the Chimantikova, the special Konakuri, the Tara Chimna. That knot, the Kamadantam, the knot, binding knot, the conditioned soul, the attachments in this world, will be cut by the knot, of, in this case, remembering Krishna. And in Kali Yuga, intelligent persons, Krishna Vana Krishna, Krishna Sankapanda Saparshana, Yajaya Sankatam Prayayu Jandi Hisunedisha. Intelligent persons in this age of Kali will worship the Lord. How will they worship Him? Not by yajas, not by deity worship. No, they worship the Lord who is accompanied with His associates by the performance of the Sankatam, Nam Sankatam. This is the method of sacrifice. Yajaya Sankatam Prayayu, the Sankatam Yajaya of this age. This is the recommended intelligent persons get in a gas and make the karma dungeon better. Cut in the knot of bondage to this material world by remembering the personality of Godhead. So the method of remembering this age primarily is the chanting of Krishna's holy names. But people are not interested, even devotees sometimes are not so interested. They chant a mechanical 16 rounds and that's the end of it. That's all over till the next day. Thank God it's over. I did it. I did my rounds. I've done them. I've beaten them up or something. I gave them a good thrashing once more. Breath of relief. And I went for Harinam last year. What are you asking me to go on Harinam for again? I did my arti this morning. We sang for 15 minutes. I offered my obeisances to you last year. I'll do it again. We did it this morning. Sometimes we're a little mechanical, a little restrictive. We don't have much of that spontaneity, but we're meant to come to that practice. You practice this chanting, is the idea. Not that we limit it, there's no limit. We have to practice chanting more if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness. We have to practice, we have to make the effort, chant more. It is an effort. This is remembering Krishna. Why were we chanting? Because we're trying to remember Krishna said to chant, so we're trying to remember it. So the Lord said, I'll cut the knot of demoniac desires from the heart of everyone. This chopper is so nice, it doesn't kill. Chop the heads off. Parashram chopped the heads off. Krishna also chopped a few heads off. And Ram also shot a few arrows into people. But the chopper of Nam Sankirtan cuts out the demonic desires from the heart. This is the best. Even if the sinners reject this religious process or flee to foreign countries like Singapore or Honolulu, Hawaii, Fiji, India, no, India's not. Where else are you from? Malaysia. Where else? Anywhere, any other countries? Pardon? Nowhere else? That's a lot. England, even if they flee to these foreign countries, he said, still they will get my mercy. I will send more Senapati Bhakta, my chief field commander, to go everywhere and deliver them. So this indication, Morsenapati Bhakta means that my chief field commander, my chief preacher, field commander of the armies going out to preach, he will send him. So then Narada Muni is next. And he left. And then later on, so much about the same time, in the Brahma Bhagavata Purana it describes a conversation that took place in Dwarka between Krishna and Ganga Devi. Speaking on behalf of all the sacred rivers, Ganga Devi expressed her fears at the advent of the age of quarrel and the imminent departure of the Lord back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. So she said, "O Lord, we can see that your pastimes are about to end and people are becoming more and more materialistic." It's going back 5,000 years. We read these like Advaita Acharya when he was praying for Mahaprabhu's appearance, how much he was lamenting about the pathetic and sinful nature of the age. I mean, what can we imagine 500 years ago compared to now? I mean, we said, well, what is that? Some people were drinking liquor in public. I saw a man hold a woman's hand in public. Can you imagine? This not Jiva Thakuraj tells that story when he was in California, when he first went to Mayapur, maybe 71 or something. And he was talking to one of the local farmers. He was practicing his Bengali. And he was talking to this local farmer. And he was asking the farmer, he was quite an elderly gentleman, if he ever goes to Calcutta. And the gentleman, the man said, "I went there once, but I'll never go again." And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "It's such a sinful place." Calcutta, 1971. "Such a sinful place," he said. I said, what do you mean by that? Because Javadak might come from Canada, America. He said, "A sinful place? You know, Calcutta, especially then, wasn't considered a very sinful place." He said, "Yeah, it's a very sinful place." And how was that? He said, "When I went there that one time, I was sat and I saw one man holding the hand of a woman in public. Such a sinful place, I will never go again," he said. You can't imagine, you know, even thinking like that now. It's even in Calcutta, you know, it's commonplace. The streetless countries like Singapore or America or Singapore. Anyway, whatever it is. This is Kali Yuga. I mean, it's just, and it's barely started. You can't imagine what's next. Suffering. So he was very concerned. "You've been very merciful to us, my lord," because the Lord was on the planet, of course. "And, but after you leave, however, all the sinful people of Kali Yuga will bathe in our waters and we will become overwhelmed with sinful reactions." He wasn't very keen on the idea of just being like a dumping ground for all the, just like you have all these dumping grounds for all the plastic bags and all the rubbish that we create. It's a big problem, you know. So she didn't want to be a dumping ground for everyone's karma to stop. Lord Krishna said, "Don't worry, be patient. After 5,000 years, my Mantra Upashika, the worship of the holy name, will appear in this world and will spread the chanting of my holy names everywhere. After 5,000 years. Not only in Bharat Varsh, but also all over the world, people will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna."
I'm going to have to request we remove this cushion. We can't sit on any longer. And just have a little mat on the floor because it's too soft. And it's pressing on my legs, which are causing too much pain. Soft cushions are the most uncomfortable things to sit on, by the way, if you want my opinion. Hard mat. Maybe. sometimes the great austerity is sitting on soft cushions that none of this thing will ever sit on. Oh, this is okay. This is good enough. Well, with the back now, remember that's not going to stretch. So he went on to say, okay, my mantu upasaka, I mean worshipper of the holy name, he would go everywhere and chant the holy name. By this chanting, the whole world will become ekavana, one designation. Namely, Hari Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Hari. And because the devotees of Lord Hari are so pure, anyone who contacts them will become purified from sinful reactions. These pure devotees will visit Varsh and purify you of sinful reactions by bathing in your sacred waters. This period of worldwide chanting of Hare Krishna will continue for 10,000 years. That's from the Bhagavad-gita Purana. We're just pushing a few things forward now. In 1486, the Supreme Lord appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you all know that, to establish the Sri Dharma and to spread the holy name everywhere. Every town of the Ritpati-Vidyati-Yati, Nagari-Gram, Sada-Kutakura-Ribe-Morinam, the Lord Chaitanya predicted that every town and village, my holy name will be heard and chanted. There's a long way to go. Although, in one sense, it's not far. Although we may not have physically been to every town and village, the holy name has gone in many different ways, even if it's in some indirect way. It's like now we see so many notices and signboards and shops and different businesses name, but they all have the name Rama, R-A-M-A, in their title. And especially you see this in the Western world, so many Ramas are there. You may have here in Australia, probably in America, which I can't remember, but in Australia I know it all the time, they have this Ramas everywhere, and Sina Rama, Auto Rama, Sina Rama, Laundry Rama, this Rama, that Rama. They have big shopping chains in Europe and France. They have one, what's it called? Castorama. Big shopping, like a big Tesco, like a big superstore. And in Sydney, of course, they have Sexorama. There's a sex shop called Sexorama. So, although it's, say, not for the proper reason, people are nonetheless chanting the name Ram. So they're getting benefit. In England, they have Krishna's Chicken Curry Shop and things like that. They're getting some benefit there over there. Krishna's Chicken Curry Shop, not anyone else's. It's Krishna's. Gopals, Gopals, beef burgers or whatever it is. I don't think they've gone that far yet. But they probably will in the near future, I'm just surprised. Gopal's Fish and Chip Shop. Indians in the West sometimes they stoop to some funny things. But anyway, the name of Krishna is there for some distant benefit. Everywhere in the world, practically almost, not everywhere, but almost everywhere, people have heard of Hare Krishna. Somewhere along the line, they don't know what is it maybe, but they've heard of it. So the holy name, directly or indirectly, is spreading. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also said that he would not discriminate. He would distribute the holy name to everyone, not considering who was fit, who was unfit, who was prepared, who was not prepared. He would give the holy name to everyone, young men, old men, women, children. Everyone will be immersed in the sankirtan. And this will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. So it's all everywhere. And he ordered everyone, of course, is not going to at this point of time, he's ordering everyone to distribute this Krishna consciousness everywhere. This is Lord's order. This is his will to us. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. that people eat these fruits have ultimately become free of suffering.
Sankirtan, this is the Nam Sankirtan, this is our real life and soul. Whatever many times say, Nam Sankirtan, congregational chant. Yuga Dharma is congregational chanting, not japa exactly, but congregational chanting of the holy names. You can chant japa congregational if you wish. But chanting together the holy names of Krishna. This is the Yuga Dharma. And this is what will cure or create a change in the world atmosphere and environment, create auspiciousness, and actually give us that taste which we're hankering after, that Nandan Buddhi Vajra, that higher taste, that nectar we're all hankering after, is from congregational chanting. So in this way, Ganga Devi was somewhat consoled, of course, as another indication of Prabhupada's arrival. And Manjari Pashita will go all over the world and will convert people into pure devotees. 5,000 men, I guess, the different indications are there. Centuries passed and the message of Lord Chaitanya was lost, more or less, in all but a few anyway. But in 1885, I don't think anyone was around here in this body in 1885, but maybe somewhere else we were. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this was Bhakti Rajendra Rai, coming. The great exponent of the pure Sankirtan. He prayed. He offered a prayer. He wrote this prayer down, and a prediction also. And a very profound prediction, which he penned in his Sajjana Toshini, in his regular article for his regular magazine. He said, Lord Chaitanya did not avenge himself to liberate only a few men in India. His main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe and preach the eternal religion. Not just this country or this world, but the entire universe. Very soon the unparalleled powerful Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the world. Already we are seeing the symptoms. It's like you get a sickness, there may be some initial symptoms. The sickness is not yet actually developed fully by any means, but there's some symptoms there, you know. And before you get the flu, you get a few symptoms. Maybe you feel a little aching in the body or some a little heady or something, whatever it is. But some symptom is there. And so already we are seeing the symptoms. Oh, for that day when the fortunate English, French, Russian, German, and American people, didn't say anything about Singaporeans, I'm afraid, but they're not left out, don't worry. English, French, Russian, German, and American people will take up banners, madungas, and cartels, and raise kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Oh, for the day when the fair-skinned men from their side will raise up the chanting of Jai Sachinandan, Jai Sachinandan, Ki Jai. And join with the Bengali devotees. When will that day be? On such a day they will say, our dear brothers, we have taken shelter of the ocean of Lord Chaitanya's love. Kindly embrace us. When will that day come? That day will witness the holy transcendental ecstasy of the Vaishnava Dharma to be the only Dharma, and all the sects and religions will flow like rivers into the ocean of Vaishnava Dharma. When will that day come? Please pray now when that day will come. And all the Dharmas, all the religions of the world will flow into Vaishnava Dharma. They will come together and sing the holy names of God, putting aside our sectarianism. A personality will soon appear to preach, as he continued writing. A personality will soon appear to in this world to preach the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and move unrestrictedly over the whole world with his message. So the devotee may interpret that statement differently, fair enough, but considering the circumstances and the history as we've seen it so far, this was penned in 1885. For instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj appeared in the world in 1874, so he was already in the world. And his mission, of course, he did send some of his disciples to do something, particularly merch for something, and a few books were sent, and nothing much around the world really take place until Prabhupada went. So this is another indication that Srila Prabhupada is that personality who will very soon appear and will spread this mission all over the world. So then, let's see. Jai Satchinandana Shuja. So now we have a slide presentation, which we don't have, but it's about Prabhupada's life. So I'll just read you a accompanying poem. Another one of the many last minute things, so please forgive the poetic shortcomings of this poem. It was written the night before the drama. In 1896 in Calcutta, a great soul did appear, a most exalted devotee whom Krishna held most dear. His mission was to spread the holy name throughout the world. The flag of Lord Garanga's mercy soon would be unfurled. His parents were pure Vaishnavas, Abhay Charan was his name, and he'd be fearless at Sri Krishna's feet to spread his name and fame. Calcutta, 1922, Bhakti Siddhanta did he meet, for then and there he surrendered unto his lotus feet. His guru said, present Chaitanya's message far and near, in English, since it's very urgent for the world to hear. As years passed by, these words remained about his life and soul. Fulfilling this injunction was his final goal. Initiation he received in 1933 was now connected formally to Lord Chaitanya's tree. In Radhakund, his guru did a further plan confide, if money comes, print books and then distribute them worldwide. In 1944, he started Back to Godhead magazine. Alone he wrote and published it, though finances they were lean. The 50s saw retirement to Jhansi did he go, to start the League of Devotees and Seeds of Bhakti sow. Step by step the pathway cleared as obstacles did fade, and then a dream he had in which his guru firmly bade, Abhay, the time has come, sannyas you have to take. In 1959 the deep commitment did he make. In Braj, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami did reside at Radha Damodar's temple near to Rupa's side. He cried to Rupa begging him his mercy to bestow, and day by day he felt his strength and inspiration grow. By Guru Angaranga's grace the mission did unfold. Print books, not magazines, they're permanent, he once was told. A formidable literary task he then took on, to translate and to comment on the Bhagavad Puran. At last in 1965 he got the chance to go abroad. His guru's words were coming true, the world would soon be awed. Aboard the Jaladuta, many trials did he face, but he relied upon the Lord for guidance and for grace. And then, of course, that word Jaladuta is very interesting. You know what this means? Jaladuta? That's the boat that Prabhupada went on from Calcutta to Boston and then to New York. That's what it means. You know what Jala is? Okay. Huh? Yes, it's a messenger. When it crosses, the messenger crosses the water. It's amazing. The boat was called Jaladuta. The travel was the messenger across the water to take the message to Krishna. Amazing. Krishna arranged that. So then we have the. What we have next? In September 1965, when Prabhupada arrived in Boston. Anyone been to Boston? You've been to Boston? Boston. Not Boston. Boston. In Boston they say it exactly like that. Boston. I go there every year. Boston. So in Prabhupada arrived in Boston recently. 1965, September. September the what? What date? What date did he arrive in Boston? September the... And close. 17th of September 1965. And you'd be interested. Here's a little interesting. One of the things that Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, Prabhupada said, was, again, understanding the meaning, like with a chopper, to cut out the sinful desires in our heart, was that our business is to tear down the Western civilization. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to go around with bombs and rockets and things like that. And that's not our business. in the sense of the whole concept of Western civilization, which is based on economic development and sense verification. So that the Prabhupada's mission to change the world. Not that we can change the world, but as an instrument of the Lord for that purpose. I didn't bring my song book. Can you have a song book here, please? So I didn't bring that song with me. That's another thing that's disappeared off the computer. That's really disappeared off the computer because the computer crashed and I lost all those things. This particular song, unfortunately, will not be able to. But then when Prabhupada was in Boston, he wrote one very famous song. Now, we'll read that in a minute. But the point I was going to make is that when at one time, when did the Twin Towers come down, Bala? 2021? 2001, September 9/11, 11th of September. Del of the engraved on every faithful noble American's heart. You did, congratulations. Best day. On that very day the Twin Towers came down, or later on?
Later on.
That day to you. Okay, it was a good day. Good day to remember your marriage day. Which one? Remember which one? Or both?
Just the marriage.
Just the marriage, okay. So, anyway, it's an interesting day because here's something. Now, of course, as you know, our Vaishnava calendar, the Vedic calendar, it doesn't exactly coincide with the Western calendar. Year by year, there's 2 days this way, that way. Of course, it's calculated with the lunar and solar and so on. So, that year, and then 2001, I was in Dublin. I don't know where Dublin is. In Dublin, specifically. I was in Dublin. And in Dublin, we were reading about Srila Prabhupada's arrival in Boston. That was the day he arrived, according to the Vaishnava calendar, in Boston. I was reading. So the next morning I took a flight from Dublin to England, and I was going to visit my brother. And it was the first time probably I'd ever been to this particular house he was moved into. So I was going to visit my brother, and I wasn't aware, and no one around me was aware what was going on in New York at the time. So the day before, as I said, it was Prabhupada's arrival day in Boston. Next morning, you know what happened in New York. Of course, it's all later. It happened later, and in England, it's 5 hours ahead of New York, so it was like in the afternoon. So I arrived there in the afternoon, and just as I arrived in my brother's house, he said, "Have you heard?" He picked me up at the station and said, "Have you heard what's happened?" I said, "Well, what am I supposed to say?" You know, I would certainly know about it if I had. I didn't know. What am I supposed to have heard about? I don't know, you know. You have no idea, no conception. So I went away from it. And got back to his house. Just as we walked into his house, he had the TV on. And one of the towers was just crumbling down just at that moment. It hadn't crumbled up to then. It was going down. And you know, I thought there was a movie going on television. Maybe some kind of like, you know, they do these sort of movies sometimes. I didn't know. And so after a while, it was, or this was actually happening, so to speak. So it was amazing, and it occurred to me, this is nothing, this is something ironic here. But whatever the reason is, this represents the Western civilization, these two buildings, you know, like pinnacle of modern civilization, or whatever we call it. And they're coming down. And I was just thinking that it was 36 years ago today that Prabhupada left Boston to go to New York to do this, tear down the rest of civilization, if you want to call it that. And I thought it was amazing, because these people were supposed to have come from Boston to New York on that day, and they had a similar, maybe similar intention, who knows whether this is real or unreal or what, but that's the concept that's put in people's minds, to like, you know, try to tear down this American, Western, whatever you want to call it, civilization. 36 years ago to the day, Prabhupada had left Boston to go to New York, but with the real purpose, to change people's consciousness, and not to disturb them, not to cause destruction, but to actually bring happiness to people in the Western world. It's quite amazing. And he compiled this amazing song. Really, I'm so sorry I don't have it on the computer. There's some beautiful renditions of this by different devotees, but I don't have, I couldn't face it. I looked for it last night, actually, this morning. and I couldn't find it. There's some beautiful one by Satchinanda, Jai Satchinanda and Achyutananda and so on. Other devotees have sung it, but not the one I was looking for, so I don't have those other ones. If you're on Google, you can get it. But this one I'm looking for, may not find on Google. It's a beautiful song. It's called Prayer, Preaching Bhagavad Gita, wrote two prayers, Prayers for Lotus Feet, and then Preaching Markane Bhagavat Dharma. Markane Bhagavat Dharma means, who knows what that means? Markane Bhagavat Dharma. You know what Bhagavat Dharma is? What is Bhagavat Dharma? What is Bhagavat Dharma? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything? What does it mean? Pardon? What does it mean? Supreme? Yeah, it's can be said like that. But Bhagavan refers to Bhagavan, to the Supreme Lord. And Dharma means constitutional activity. It's the actual activity which is our constitutional activity, eternal activity of service to the Supreme Lord. This is the real Dharma. Other religions are only stepping stones, you can say, to that point. The real Dharma means, Bhagavad Dharma means our eternal, our relationship, our constitutional relationship with Bhagavan or Krishna. So Martine refers to teaching Bhagavad Dharma in America, specifically. The Prabhupada wrote this poem in beautiful Bengali. I'm not going to be able to sing it today. It's good, but it's not time, isn't it? But we'll read some of the English. And the beautiful tune is, there are many tunes to this. You should learn it and sing this regularly. This is really the essence of Prabhupada's mission and need, this song, or this prayer. You can sing it in the tune also of Jai Radhe Jai Krishna. That's one tune you can sing it in. Other tunes take a little bit more expertise. But that tune is not so difficult. Although there are certain variations to that particular tune which make it really beautiful, which we won't be able to sing. Bodo Kripa Kore Krishna Adane Prati Kila Kya Mireka Bodo Vedika. There are variations which make it very beautiful. These are different tunes you can sing it in. It really helps us to enter into the mood, the Prabhupada's mood. I'll just read some of the English. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul. But I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Terrible place? New York. Boston. Boston. Most of the Indian people are dreaming of the opportunity to go to Boston or New York. I'd do anything for a green card. They'd give up their legs practically for a green card. It's like a ticket to the spiritual world. Better than that. Much better. Isn't it? They queue up. They line up on the promenade in Chowpatty in Bombay, staring across the ocean, dreaming of the day when they will get that opportunity to go to heaven. America, London, Honolulu. I mean, it's like all they want to know about is how to get a green card. This terrible place, God says. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life. They think themselves very happy and satisfied, intoxicated, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it, but I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I'm simply praying to your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. I was not thinking I'm going to convince them. Just praying for Krishna's mercy, please. And I will be able to somehow convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will. Not that he wants us to be, but we want to, and without the will of Krishna we can't. We can't become illusioned without his will. It's not within our power. So if we have an aversion towards Krishna, it's a pretty uncomfortable situation. And by Krishna's will, by his arrangement, he arranges an atmosphere where we can feel separated from him, called the material world. So by the will of the arrangement of the Lord, and therefore by your arrangement or will, they will also be released from the clutches of illusion. In other words, we can't get out of this material world without the mercy of the will of Krishna either. You can try and desire as you will, but ultimately it's his will which counts. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam, I wish that you may deliver them. And this is how Krishna's will is evoked. When the devotee wishes that the people of this world are delivered, I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then you will be able to understand your message. It's a long quote from the Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, 1st canto, which everyone should read. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada writes, I am unfortunate, very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or another, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a successful failure as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. On board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth of Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, 18th of September 65, the day after he arrived. Hare Krishna. Thomas and Prabhupada, of course, in New York, he struggled for about a year before he established his first center in New York, 2nd Avenue. Some of you have been there. Who's been there? 26 2nd Avenue. Have you been there? Anyone else? We must take a pilgrimage one day to New York. Not for the usual reasons that Indians take their pilgrimage to New York, but it's spiritual. It is a wonderful experience to go to places where Prabhupada lived and where he preached, where devotees met Prabhupada, and so on and so forth. And really feel Prabhupada's presence. And I love the mood of his heart. You can feel close to his heart there in New York. Just we have that usage of that building, 26 2nd Avenue now, as a preaching center. It's available, so devotees have programs here, you can visit. So if you do go to New York, take advantage of that, go to Tompkins Square Park and Washington Park, and Washington Square, Yeah, there's also Washington, what's it, Washington Park, what is it? That's another place Prabhupada went to speak there, program there, and different places there, in the Bowery and Uptown, 50 something or other street. All these places, the shop where Prabhupada used to buy his spices, and his groceries, the park that he used to walk along, the street where he met the Hayabhita and those devotees, Master Street, Houston. Grant Street, Grant Road, Martin from Mukunda, Maharaj Street, all these places you can go, Mott Street, Jack. You go down all these roads and you can just feel like, you know, you can remember Prabhupada's preaching there in New York. Amazing. It was the first place, you know, it used to be called the Paradox. It's in St. Mark's Place. It was the place where really the message got spread. And when Prabhupada was uptown, there was one, what was his name now? This one, two young men, they were coming uptown and they were like very influential downtown. They had this Paradox where they spread the message of this uptown Swami. And they arranged for him to move downtown. One of their friends, they arranged a place on the Bowery for Prabhupada to move into. And that's where the message really started spreading in the Paradox. You know, that's a second-hand cloth shop. Clothing shop there in St. Mark's. So, one time in July 1966, July 11th, Prabhupada was giving a class at the center in 26 Second Avenue. After the class, he surprised everyone. He said, all right, Mr. Goldsmith. Mr. Goldsmith was the only straight person in the audience. That meant he wasn't a hippie. He was a man who worked. Yes, he worked. But some of the others worked too, but they were a little hippie-ish. He didn't take drugs. He didn't take LSD and things like that. He was a straight. So he was a lawyer. Accounting or something. All right, Mr. Goldsmith, you can ask anything. Mr. Goldsmith, Swamiji wants some signers on an incorporation document for his new religious movement, the International Society for God Consciousness. No, not God Consciousness, Krishna Consciousness. God is a vague term, Krishna is specific. Oh, okay, Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada says. They are present here. You can take the addresses now. These were just some young, no one was initiated, no one really knew much, no one was following the regulated principles, no one was chanting 16 rounds, they didn't know anything hardly about Krishna consciousness, some of them were intoxicated, but they are here now, you can take the addresses. I can take them now, Mr. Goldsmith said? Yes, you can. Bill, you give your name and address, come sign. Raphael, you give yours. And you give yours. And Don, Ray, Mr. Green, sign here. I would just call them up one by one. Mike, we shall call our society the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON. We just went around and got the news of the trustees of ISKCON. They didn't know what they were doing. They never even read the paper and they just signed it. They had no idea what they were doing. Out of the blue. So from this very humble being, Srila Prabhupada then of course he started to travel the world. We don't have the, let's try something here. Sound? I sound for the sound. Oh, what a turn. You can see the video. Arriving in Los Angeles. You missed the first part. Thank you. And discrepancies may exist. If you all agree to my directions and cooperate in the right spirit, then everything will turn out. But it will require everyone involved to be responsible and cooperate in executing and following the instruction of the spiritual master. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, do not appease to Nityana Purorita Savishna, Manina Manadina Kirtaniya Siddhahari. And to chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, leaving oneself lower than the swollen street, one should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. We must always remember this verse and be as tolerant as the tree as we execute the Krishna conscious movement. Without this mentality, we cannot be successful. Material nature means dissension and disagreement, especially in this Kali Yuga. But for this Krishna conscious movement, its success will depend on agreement, even though there are varieties of engagements. In the material world, there are varieties, but there is no agreement. In the spiritual world, there are varieties, but there is agreement. That is the difference. If we keep Krishna in the center, there will be agreement in variety. This is called unity in diversity. I am therefore suggesting that all our men meet here in Mayapur every year during the birth anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With all DBC and senior men present, we should discuss how to make unity in diversity. But if we fight on account of diversity, it is simply material platform. Please try to maintain philosophy of unity in diversity. That will make our movement successful. Nobody should think that I have got so great ability I can do. No, it is simply by cooperation we can do very big things. United we stand, divided we fall. So be strong in pushing on Krishna consciousness, and Krishna will help. He is the strongest. Still, we must be combined together. Sankirtan means many men combined together chanting. That is Sankirtan. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, combined together. I hope this meets you in good health, your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki. I don't know we're going to. Let's see. Play a lecture, Shri Prabhupada. Ready? This is a very wonderful, just a small part of the lecture, not the whole thing.
As many towns and villages are there. Everywhere, my name is known. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not even know his inner self. To execute this will of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Patnai, Bharat Bhumite Manusya Janma Haiya Jya Janma Sathakari Parapara. He wanted that this name should be taught all over the world, in every town, every day. And who would do it? That he asked that anyone who has taken part in Bhagavata Hindi, it is his duty, first of all, make himself perfect by understanding the philosophy of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then broadcast his duty. This is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, he simply said, but he was expecting that in later days his power should do that. So that attempt was made by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Bhakti Mahaprabhu is there, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that. It is accepted by East and West equally, and both the Indians and the Europeans, the Americans, we to dance together in ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. That was his desire. He simply expressed his desire, when I shall see this happening, that both the Eastern and Western people, they are united on the basis of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth and dancing together in Krishna. That was his ambition. It was ambition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was ambition of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur took up this business. And he wanted Krishna. So, every student, any disciple, every disciple, especially those who are competent, he requested that he put up his mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and preach in the Western. That was what he did on this disciple. Before that, even the Acharyas, Rupananda, Goswami, they left literature, but they did not attain to preach practically. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was very aware of what is the Chaitanya part in the Krishna. That is the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's special. But it is I'm trying to get it, and you are all facing me. So I have to thank you more. You are actually representative of my Guru Maharaj. Because you are helping me. So let me do the order of my Guru Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Let's start as you would. Some depth from this lecture and from the poems and so on. A little bit of an indication of his mission, his mood. Many, many letters, many, many conversations you can read and hear about, which will help more and more and more for us to understand Srila Prabhupada's will, what he wants of us. So for instance, the Lord could ask different questions. Obviously, unlimited questions were asked practically. For instance, like here's one.
Sometimes devotees leave Islam. Prabhupada said, there's no question of leaving our society. When they think like that, but I cannot allow you to leave, that is my inspiration. Your inspiration may be to leave, mine is you cannot leave. Those who have left the society, I'm always thinking of them. Especially for you, there is no question of leaving. Never leave the shelter of this movement. Never leave this one. How can we be happy, Srila Prabhupada? And said, and movement exists to chant Hare Krishna. In this way we can always be happy in any circumstance. And the question was asked, who will succeed you as the leader of the Krishna conscious movement? Prabhupada said, all of my disciples will take the legacy. If you want, you can also take it. Sacrifice everything. I, one, may soon pass away. But there are hundreds, and this movement will increase. It's not that I'll give an order, here is the next leader. No. Anyone who follows the previous leadership is a leader. I don't make any distinction between Indian and European. All my disciples are leaders, as much as they follow purely. If you want to follow, then you can also lead. If you don't want to follow, leader means one who is first-class disciple. Egon-dram-dra-bhattam. One who is perfectly following. Our instruction is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Do you know this? Adanakariya Maniash. My only desire is to have my consciousness purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth of my spiritual master. To become a leader is not very difficult, provided one is prepared to follow the instructions of the bona fide guru. But in Srila Prabhupada in 1977, of course, his health deteriorated considerably, physical health, and even in the midst of that, he went to London for 2 weeks in August, September 1977. And many things took place during that period of time. And then after London, he returned to Bombay, and from Bombay, he went to Vrindavan, and he spent his last month or two before departing this world in Vrindavan Dham, in his home, Krishna Balaram Mandir now. And Prabhupada spent his last days there, and he made many requests and statements, significant statements about various aspects of Krishna consciousness. One of them, of course, was, your love for me will be shown by how much we work cooperatively together afterwards. After I depart to keep this institution together, how you work cooperatively. This was one of his great concerns, the father's great concern of this tendency of this Kali Yuga, particularly of quarrel, dissension, would affect his mission. So this working cooperatively together is a real sacrifice, this is a real surrender, but this is Prabhupada's mission, and we try to work together as much as we can, variety, unity and diversity, to see how we can put Krishna in the center and connect everyone else to Krishna in this way. Not easy. So that was Prabhupada's, it's basically just an outline. There's another scene or two, but we don't really have the time or the facilities to present them now. So we'll finish there. Last final thing. Nothing's complete without hearing Srila Prabhupada singing.
Oh, yeah.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.